Welcome to the HR Room Podcast, the podcast series from Insight HR, where we talk to business leaders from around Ireland and share their advice on how to create the HR systems and workplace culture that's right for your business. For show notes and bonus content, simply visit www.insighthr.ie/podcast. And remember, if you need any HR support, get in touch with us at Insight HR. Whether it's conducting a complex workplace investigation, filling a gap by providing you with a virtual or on-site HR resource, or providing advice via our HR support line, we'll help you resolve whatever human resources challenge your business is facing. Okay, let's get started.
Hello and welcome to another episode of the HR Room Podcast. Pregnancy, early parenthood, maternity leave, etc. Some of the most important, happiest, and also challenging times in your life, I'm told, as you navigate the world of soon-to-be or brand-new parenthood. However, on top of the challenges of adapting to this, many women in Ireland are also facing challenges in the workplace or from their organisation in the form of maternity, discrimination, and related topics. So to talk us through this, discussing legislation, prevention, everything in between, we're delighted to be joined again by Adrian Toomey, partner at Jacob & Toomey Solicitors. Thanks for joining us again, Adrian. How are you?
I'm great, Owen. Thank you. And thanks very much for the invitation to join you today. It's always great to be on the podcast.
Definitely looking forward to the chat. And as always, we're joined by our very own Mary Cullen, founder and managing director here at Insight HR. How are you, Mary?
Oh, great. Thanks, Owen. And Adrian, always a pleasure to have you here. You're one of my favorite guests. So I'm sure the listeners will agree with me on that front.
You're very kind. Thank you, Mary.
Brilliant. Looking forward to it. So no pressure, Adrian, but you're one of the best. So. Let's
Brilliant. I think you're setting me up for a fall straight away there, Owen.
Wouldn't be like me. Brilliant. So look, Mary, I'll actually come to yourself first, if that's all right, just for a little bit of, I suppose, of a context setter. I mean, the reason we're talking about this today is because this issue does seem to pop up in the headlines quite regularly. Would I be right in saying that? I suppose, have we seen it from a client perspective, or I suppose anecdotally, is it something that does come up, or does it live under the surface? What's kind of the feeling you're getting about this topic?
Yeah, not from our clients as such, Owen, because, you know, people don't come out and openly say, I have a problem with a pregnant woman or a new parent or, you know, while somebody's on maternity leave. They don't tend to say it in that kind of an open way, and probably particularly to a woman who has had children. That being said, I see from the headlines examples and shocking examples of how badly some women are treated at this time in their lives. You know, as a woman who had three babies back in the day, they're all grown up now. And, you know, certainly in my day when I first started work, you know, I didn't dare mention a child. I certainly wouldn't have mentioned one at an interview, and I certainly never discussed it with my employer. Maybe my colleagues who became friends, but that was the reality of starting work in the 90s, 2000s, and it's great to see so much has changed now, where we're much more focused on women and parenthood and all of that. But there is this side that continues to lurk under the surface, and where women at this time in their lives are treated badly. And, you know, as someone who has, you know, been pregnant and gone through pregnancy, gone through early days with the baby and all that kind of stuff, had sick babies, all the rest of it, there are just realities for women. You can be terribly sick, as I was myself throughout every pregnancy. And that had an impact on performance. Luckily, I had reasonable, decent employers back in the day, and I never had an issue myself. But there are realities for women too, that sometimes employers take a view on, and it's fundamentally wrong.
So I suppose the question for yourself then, Adrian, I suppose the question I have down is, what do we mean by maternity discrimination, pregnancy discrimination? And you could say, well, when you tell me you brought me on a podcast to talk about this, we could talk about anything. But I suppose from a legislative and, I suppose, rules written on the paper kind of approach when it comes to the law, Adrian, what do we mean by pregnancy and maternity discrimination?
Yeah, it's a big question in many ways, Owen. But the Employment Equality Acts effectively prohibit discrimination on a number of grounds, as you know, one being gender, and pregnancy, obviously, as the European Court of Justice has said many times, is something that generally only happens to women. So it's a form of direct discrimination if somebody's ill-treated because of their pregnancy. So it's discrimination on the gender ground, it may be in the context of recruitment or promotion or general conditions of employment or dismissal. To be honest with you, in practice, and I can't believe I'm saying this in 2024, I find it most often happens in the context of termination of employment, either because the employer has moved to dismiss the employee or because the employee feels that they're being so ill-treated that they're compelled to resign. And again, in the same way that Mary has referred to some of her clients being, you know, progressive or modern in terms of their thinking and not setting out to discriminate against employees, I find that lots of companies are trying to be as supportive and helpful and progressive as possible. And then it comes as an even bigger shock when you find this type of discrimination occurring quite blatantly, and it does occur quite blatantly in some circumstances. You know, there really is still an attitude, and even in 2024 out there on the part of some employers, not the majority, but a significant minority, that it's something of an outrage that a woman would have a baby and look to have time off when she's doing that. So I'm constantly amazed. You know, we had our first legislation to try to prohibit this type of thing back in the 1970s. When I was a child and you were probably a twinkle in somebody's eye. And to think that we're now here nearly 50 years later and we're still not after surmounting this problem is just astonishing. I'm sorry, I've rambled off away from your question entirely, Owen. I'll shoot for a minute and let you take over again, get us back on track.
Yeah, no, it's great context. And I think it's such an important point, Adrian, because it is something that I can't believe it's even a podcast episode in that kind of way, because it is, as you said, something that we've been trying to work on for 50 years now, and you would think it would be resolved by now, but evidently not. And it's good to actually see, I was going to ask you, where does it usually happen? So it's good to see that. I suppose there's a couple of key, or I suppose, frequent areas that it does happen in, albeit not great to see, but it's great to know actually where it does happen so we can identify it. I suppose, Mary, these occurrences, obviously then, Mary, they can have a real kind of acutely negative effect on the parties involved, can't they? I mean, as we said, going through a pregnancy is not always smooth sailing. So this obviously kind of level of undue stress, worry should really be avoided, kind of related to your earlier point there, Mary.
Well, I suppose it jars for many women, because at that time or during this time, normally a woman is treated with great kindness by most people. You know, people will stand up and let you sit down on a bus or a train. People will help you carry bags. Your own family and those around you are caring and considerate of your needs. So when that person then finds themselves in a situation where their workplace has become in some way hostile towards them, it can be very, very difficult. And, you know, it is a time in which, for many women, it's not always plain sailing. It is a challenge for women. Some women are lucky and you know, the pregnancy is smoother than for others, but for some women it is a difficult time as much as anything else. And so it beggars belief that in 2024 we're still there. Now, Adrian, I know when you're talking about someone being a twinkle in someone's eye, I don't think you were referring to me, it must have been to Owen, but, you know, I've seen over the years, friends, family members, had the experience of being pregnant myself. You know, the realities for a woman at this time to be treated badly, it can have a profound effect on them emotionally and mentally at that time. So, you know, it's one of the things, even when it comes to dealing with performance issues for pregnant women during their pregnancies, you know, most sensible managers and HR people are going to take into consideration the realities that that woman might be experiencing at that time. But, you know, certainly to treat someone badly caused them so much distress that they feel that they've no option but to leave their employment, or worse again, to actually dismiss them, is terrible in this day and age.
Definitely. I suppose then, Adrian, when it comes to, I suppose, how to say it, the baseline, the minimum kind of standard that, that employers should put in, what kind of protections should be in place, I suppose, from a legislative but also kind of a procedural kind of outlook? What's kind of the foundations of the protections employers should have in place for this kind of stuff, Adrian?
There's the potential here that I could give you a 48-hour long answer, Owen, I'm afraid. So just to very quickly touch on some of the keystones in terms of the legal background. A lot of the law here is driven by the EU. The Charter of Fundamental Rights of the European Union prohibits dismissal on grounds of pregnancy. And then we've got a number of EU directives and the Lisbon Treaty, the Pregnancy Directive, the Recast Directive, and they all build on that provision in the Charter of Fundamental Rights to prohibit discrimination against women occurring because of their pregnancy. At a domestic level, we've got the Employment Equality Act 1998, as it's been amended over the years, the Maternity Protection Act, and they afford a right to pregnant workers to take maternity leave and to return to the same or similar job after the end of their maternity leave, and not to be discriminated against because of their pregnancy or because they've taken maternity leave. So from an employer's perspective, I think we're going to talk a little bit later on about how employers can attempt to ensure that discrimination doesn't occur. But from an employer's perspective, I always say to clients, listen, there is no more protected group legally than pregnant women. And so you have to take enormous care not to accidentally discriminate against them. And I suppose the pitfall that I see the good employer falling into most often is simply failing to communicate with employees who are out on maternity leave. You know, when somebody's out of sight, they can very easily become out of mind. And you'll find that a woman who's been progressing well in her career, performing well in her career, has a baby, is out on maternity leave, and we forget to notify her that a promotion opportunity, for example, has come up, and she's out there blissfully unaware that the next key step in her progression up the corporate ladder is now available to her, but because she's not aware, she's not able to make contact. So for the good employer, I think communication is important. Talk to people, try to understand their concerns, know what they want to do or achieve, know what they're interested in, so that you can communicate with them while they're out on maternity leave. Let them know what's happening in the workplace, any major developments that are taking place, any significant opportunities that are arising in relation to promotion or training, for example. There might be a training course that's going to take place after this lady arrives back at work, but we don't book her onto it because we forget to ask her because she's out on maternity leave. So for the good employer, watch out for that, I think. And we'll talk about the bad employers a little more in a minute, but it's fairly obvious. Don't go sacking somebody because they had the temerity to have a baby.
Exactly. And perfect segue onto my next question, Adrian. I suppose at the top of the call, we did mention there's a lot of cases coming up in the headlines, unfortunately, again, as I said, shockingly, beggars belief. But can you talk to us about maybe a case or two or whatever you think about?
Yeah, sure.
I suppose that kind of covers the topic and outlines some of the pitfalls, yeah.
The great thing about coming on a podcast like this And the terrible thing in terms of its reflection on society is that there are constantly new cases in this area. Without being too discriminating in terms of the cases I've picked, I just picked two of the last three or four that have come up before the WRC to tell you about. I noticed, Owen, on your own website, the Insight HR website, you did a great article about 3 years ago covering some case law on this subject area. And I have to say, before coming on the podcast, I took a look at that to remind myself of some key factors that people should be aware of. And that article is worth checking out for anybody who's listening. In terms of recent cases, there's a case, Lucos and Ria de Care Limited, was heard recently. Now, the decision is 26th of March, so we're just talking days ago that this decision emanated from the WRC. And in one sense, it's an unusual case because there was an argument at the beginning as to who the correct respondent was, what the proper name of the employer was, and it seems that the employer walked out of the hearing. But in essence, the adjudication officer proceeded, and it seems that the case related to a staff nurse who was employed on a two-year fixed-term contract from August of 2020. She then subsequently became pregnant and obviously had a child, but she was pregnant when her fixed-term contract expired in August of 2022. And at that stage, she felt that she should have been offered permanent employment, like others had been, having been taken on initially on fixed-term contracts. But she wasn't. She was offered a new fixed-term contract, which ran from August of 22 to October of 22. And then at the end of that second fixed-term contract, they said, well, your fixed-term contract is up. The best of luck. Bye-bye. So she sued, saying that others, had she not been pregnant, she would have been offered permanent employment. And in circumstances where the employer had withdrawn from the hearing and gave no evidence, the adjudication officer concluded that they had failed to demonstrate that they did not discriminate against this lady on the basis of her pregnancy. There was some consideration of the burden of proof in these cases, which is very easily transferred onto the employer. And the adjudication officer made an award of 56,000 euros, which was 2 years' pay. Now, sometimes people fixate on the amount of money that complainants get. Any women listening to this podcast who feel that they're being discriminated against on the basis of their pregnancy shouldn't be paying attention to the 56,000 euros. What's of more relevance, I think, is that an adjudication officer believed that it was appropriate to award 2 years' pay in compensation. If this lady was on 100 grand a year, we'd be talking about a 200,000 euro case. So that's a very significant decision. I had one myself years ago, which was somewhat similar when I was acting for employees, and the adjudication officer at that time awarded a year's pay. Now, awards of a year's pay and 2 years' pay, they're massive. You very rarely get awards of that size at the WRC, which gives you a good indication as to the seriousness with which the WRC will view discrimination against women who are pregnant. A second case, if I have time, Owen, and I'm sorry for going on a little long here, but there's a second very recent case. The decision, I think I'll just check the date on it. The decision, 1st of March, 2023. So just over a year ago, the case was anonymized. It's referred to on the WRC website as a manager against a commercial and industrial equipment supplier. And here, a lady commenced employment in January 2022 as a manager. She encountered some difficulty lifting items at work because of her pregnancy, and so she told a number of her colleagues that she was pregnant in order to get a little bit of help. Apparently, she believed it became the subject of chatter around the office. Her manager found out about it, and she was dismissed the following day. She brought a case for discriminatory dismissal. breach of the employment equality legislation, and she was awarded a sum of 25,000 euros in circumstances where her employment had only endured for a short period. It wasn't as if she was dismissed from a job that she had held for 20 years. And so they didn't believe it was the most serious case that would warrant an award of 2 years' pay, but still a significant award. And for the employer, for employers who are named these days in decisions, it can be huge adverse publicity. Imagine a situation where you're sued for discriminating against a pregnant woman. The case is reported by the WRC on their website. It's covered in the various newspapers, and it's on the internet forevermore that you were a company that discriminates against pregnant women. That's going to be potentially devastating for a company's reputation. Sorry, again, I've run on a little long in my answer. Apologies.
Yeah, no, it's absolutely great to get such detail on those cases, Adrian. And it's shocking that there is two very recent ones, one in particular only a couple of weeks ago. Again, shocking to see, but glad we could go into such detail on them. So I do appreciate that, and it'll be very beneficial for our listeners. I suppose, Mary, for yourself, then, any kind of reflections, reactions to a couple of those cases? I mean, do you think it's absence of policies? Is it just bad behaviours? Is it a bit of ignorance is bliss kind of stuff? What, any kind of reflections on those cases, Mary, and why these things happen?
When you dismiss somebody because they're pregnant, and, you know, when I think about some of the things I've heard over the years, you know, a woman announces her pregnancy at work, and within days or weeks, performance issues that were never there suddenly arise. And you know, you have someone suddenly maybe not having acted upon something earlier, but then choosing to do so at this kind of critical juncture when the woman announces she's pregnant. And it doesn't wash. It really doesn't wash. As I always say, when I hear something like that, that there are performance issues with a woman who's pregnant, and they have been ongoing for ages, but nobody's ever spoken to her about it, now is not the time. And if there are issues with somebody, you raise them in a reasonable way as they occur. Starting to raise them just after the announcement of a pregnancy is questionable, and unfortunate for the people involved. And I always feel really sorry. I don't hear this from employers, from our clients, from the HR people that I speak to, but I do hear it from individuals who have been treated badly, and who suddenly find themselves subjected to, you know, performance improvement processes when actually there was no issue at all prior to the announcement of their pregnancy, or when they need to step back and stop doing certain duties or activities because of the pregnancy, whether that's handling chemicals, lifting boxes, whatever it might be, you know, they're carrying heavy trays, whatever it might be that the woman has to pull back from during her pregnancy. The other thing I hear of as well is around those bonus payments, you know, everybody else getting a Christmas voucher of 500 or 1,000 euro, but the woman who's on maternity leave not getting it. Or maybe because the employer feels, well, you weren't here for the guts of a year or a year or whatever it might be, however long somebody takes time out because of they've had a baby, and, you know, not getting their bonus. You are meant to treat somebody as if they're actually still there. They continue to accrue their public holidays. They continue to accrue their annual leave. And sometimes I hear people talking about, you know, well, they just started the job, and next thing, there's an announcement that they're pregnant. As if the woman has deliberately become pregnant as soon as she joined the company. For many women, there's a fear factor about telling their employer they're pregnant because they're not sure of what to expect when they do that, particularly if they're a new recruit or particularly if they're not long in the job. So I think in most cases, employers are decent and careful and considerate of somebody who's having a baby in the workplace or who's just returned from maternity leave. In most cases, you can expect people to perform. You know, people are there to do a job, but you do have to factor in if somebody is sick, if they're having problems in their pregnancy, if they need to leave work early because of a premature baby or something like that. You know, these things do happen, and employers are expected to be reasonable in these circumstances. And I know we talk to a sophisticated audience here on our podcast. You know, HR practitioners, by and large, are the audience we speak to. But these things still happen in companies, and you'll be quite surprised at you know, the nature of those companies. It's not just the micro companies who don't know better. It can happen in much larger employers too. Is that your experience, Adrian?
It's a difficult question to answer. I think, Mary, on the one hand, with larger employers, I find generally they have in-house HR, they have a greater level of expertise, they're more conscious of the issue, they try harder on it. At the same time, they have a larger number of managerial and supervisory employees that they need to some extent, control. And it can be difficult to cover all of them and hard to ensure that one of them doesn't turn a little rogue or do something that can land the company in trouble despite the company's best efforts. So that certainly does happen. You're quite correct that those issues do arise. And then at the same time, you have a smaller employer where there isn't necessarily the same degree of knowledge or understanding of the law or of the issues. And the more extreme types of cases can arise where somebody just fires a woman straight up, having been told that she's pregnant, or regards it as her taking a liberty or having a cheek to become pregnant within, let's say, a year of starting in the employment. I'm constantly amazed by those types of cases and shocked that they are still happening. But yeah, there's those two different types of cases. And then I think there is a third, and I'm a little bit hesitant about going into this territory, but I do find that on occasion, there will be issues in relation to, let's say, a worker's performance. And if the employer tries to pick up on that issue, suddenly they're accused of discriminating against the worker. And it's all linked back to a pregnancy or maternity leave that may have finished a couple of years previously. So, you know, it's not all one-sided. Sometimes the law is used in a pretty cynical manner by employees, but that's obviously a rare situation. So, yeah, lots of different complex issues arising out of this, to be honest with you. It's not all straightforward. And unfortunately, I think we're going to just continue to see these issues arising for years to come. I'm not sure that we'll ever, in our lifetimes, get over the problem, unfortunately.
Final question, which I'll ask both of you, but I'll ask yourself, Adrian, first, and Mary, feel free to jump in straight after if you want. And to prevent this from happening or reducing the chances, Adrian, any kind of advice there?
Well, I think there's a textbook answer and there's a practical answer to that, Owen. So I'll give you the textbook answer first, and that's have an equal opportunities policy, communicate it to your workforce and train them on it. That's the textbook answer, I think. The more practical advice is to make sure that you communicate with your employees and maintain channels of communication, particularly where a woman is out on maternity leave. So if a woman comes to you and tells you that she's pregnant, ask her if there are any particular issues that might present for her at work that you can help in surmounting. ask her in terms of her preferences as regards communication while she's out on maternity leave. Does she just want to be left alone to enjoy the time with her new child, hopefully? Or does she mind if you communicate with her by email or by post about opportunities that might be arising that she might be interested in, or updates in terms of things that have happened in the workplace, like we've introduced a new policy on this or whatever, and then generally try to communicate those things to her. So at the moment, if somebody was out on maternity leave, for example, I might expect them to see, or to see them getting a communication from their employer, for example, rolling out any new work-life balance policy that they might have introduced following the introduction of a code of practice on that issue recently. I might expect to see them getting communications from their employer about promotional opportunities that might have arisen. Or it might be that we're opening a new office in, let's say, Paris to trade in the French market, and she needs to be offered the opportunity to be considered for relocation to that office in the same way as anybody else might be. So communication, and not forgetting that somebody is out there. The other point to ensure that you avoid is avoid giving any consideration to the possibility of dismissal where somebody has told you that they're pregnant or they're on maternity leave. It's just not up for discussion. It's not open to discussion. Wait until the person's back from maternity leave. Allow them to settle back into the job, if at all possible. And if they're not performing 6 months or 12 months down the line, well, we'll deal with the issue then. Otherwise, leave well alone. Like I say, these are the most protected workers out there legally. And they deserve that protection because of the importance of what's taking place. They're having a child. They're bringing a new life into the world. And like it or not, we all have a part to play in supporting them in that regard, including their employers.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, my view is you need to take a hands-off approach. If there are performance issues that you failed to address prior to a woman approaching you to say that she's pregnant, it's not the time to deal with them. You are just walking yourself into a lot of trouble. And even, you know, I have been involved in redundancy processes where, you know, there's somebody out on maternity leave. And even in circumstances where a business is closing down, you don't actually make that woman redundant until she finishes her protected leave. And, you know, the reality is, as Adrian says, women are protected during this very unique and special period. And even if they've had 5 babies, 10 babies during their employment with you, there's nothing that you as an employer should be doing in relation to a woman who's simply just having a baby, as is her right and entitlement, and she is protected during that period. I think it's really sad for the people involved to be treated in an inhumane way during this time. Society protects pregnant women generally, and it's certainly incumbent upon an employer to do so too. So as Adrian says, if you need to carry out risk assessments to assess what a woman is or isn't able to do during her pregnancy at work, and I mean from a health and safety perspective, not a risk assessment from a, you know, can the woman perform her job, but if she's lifting boxes, if there's carrying heavy trays, if there's things, chemicals that she may come into contact with during her pregnancy, you may need to look at a health and safety risk assessment there to assess what she can and can't do. But that's not to say you're looking for ways to put that woman out of your business. What you're doing is protecting her during her employment in the business. And now is not the time to, you know, look at changing terms and conditions, treating her unfavorably, or anything like that. Not that there's ever a good time to do that, by the way, but it's certainly you don't want to be raising issues during this period.
Definitely, and look, a lot of key points there and a useful and practical discussion, I'm sure. A shame that we're still having to have it in 2024, as I say, but again, a very useful practical discussion for all our listeners out there. So thank you to everyone for listening. We'll catch you next week for the next installment of our podcast. So don't forget to click subscribe and join the discussion on our social media channels. If you are enjoying these episodes, do please feel free to share them with colleagues, friends, and family. And even better, if you can leave us a review on whatever platform you're on, we'd really appreciate that too. And as always, for HR consultancy services and management you can trust, get in touch with us today at insidehr.ie. Thank you, Mary, and thank you, Adrian.
Thanks, Owen. Thanks, Mary.
Thank you, Owen. Thanks, Adrian.
Thanks for joining us today on the HR Room Podcast, the podcast series from Inside HR that helps you create the human resources systems and workplace culture that's right for your business. For show notes and bonus content, go to www.insidehr.ie/podcast. That's www.insidehr.ie/podcast. We'd love it if you subscribe, like, and share the show with any friends and colleagues who are looking for fresh ideas on how to create the ideal workplace for their business. And remember, if you need any HR support, get in touch with us at Insight HR. Whether it's conducting a complex workplace investigation, filling a gap by providing you with a virtual or an on-site HR resource, or providing advice via our HR support line, we'll help you resolve whatever human resources challenge your business is facing. Thanks, and see you soon.